This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Our next story is a bit of a strange one. It's about the Taj Mahal and how it's changing colour.
Yeah, it's turning green, just like the Hulk. Apparently, India's Supreme Court has instructed the government to seek foreign help to fix this worrying change in colour. Apparently, you know, even if you have the expertise, you're not utilising it, or perhaps you don't care. That's what court justices are saying.
Wow.
Oh, harsh. But pollution, construction and insect dung, believe it or not,
yes,
are said to be amongst the causes.
So, of course, the famous 17th century white marble structure, you know, has turned yellow over time, but it's apparently now turning brown and green.
But that's the thing. So I saw this documentary ages ago about the Taj Mahal and the material, you know, the specific marble that was used to build the Taj Mahal, and it's supposed to withstand all sorts of... It's an amazing quality marble.
Yes, but it was built in the 17th century. And as we know, all marble is porous, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess from the 17th century to 2018, it's done pretty well.
Not
so
too bad.
Far.
It aged well. Better than most of us.
But here's the thing. I mean, before we go into insect dung, Caroline, I mean, on a much smaller scale, mm-hmm. okay, a really, really small scale, yeah. I have a similar problem, right? So as you know, I have lots of books, right? I enjoy my books.
Now, oh, your books are turning green?
Yellowish. But because of the climate in Malaysia.
The humidity, I think.
The humidity and all of that stuff. Yeah. No matter what I do, even if I keep it in like an air-conditioned room or have dehumidifiers running, I mean, eventually the pages here turn a colour much quicker than it would, I think, in more temperate climates like the UK and the US.
Yeah, I suppose that's why with precious manuscripts, even comic, you know, first edition comics and things like that, they use a special kind of paper?
Yes, so I have lots of first edition comics as well, and they are in special acid-free bags that you put them in, because if not... They just deteriorate. I mean, it's too humid and hot.
But, you know, so I've been to your house, obviously, and I've seen the library that you have. It's not going to be feasible, I think, in any which way to bag every single book that you have.
I also keep all the curtains closed a lot because my house has lots of glass and it's direct sunlight. Mm. That will also fade books. Because the sun here is so bright and powerful. I mean, it's a good thing in many ways, mm-hmm. but not so much for books. So you can imagine, I mean, I have the problem. It's a tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny scale compared to what's happening in the Taj Mahal.
Everything is teeny, tiny compared to the Taj Mahal.
But, you know, you can understand how upset the Supreme Court is in saying that this is a national treasure. It's a wonder of the world.
Well, sewage, apparently in the Yamuna River that's alongside the palace, that attracts insects, which excrete waste onto the palace walls, and it really stains them. Of course, you know, development is now one of the world's leading tourist attractions.
Yes.
About 70,000 people every day. So this dirt problem is not exactly a new one. Many times, I think, over the past two decades or so, the white marble has been coated in this mud pack that they use in an attempt to clean it like we do our faces, right? But you know, they're worried that the problem is just getting worse.
Yeah. So the mud pack kind of essentially absorbs dirt, grease and animal excrement, right? And so it's essentially a giant face mask, like you said, for the palace, right? Mm-hmm. So then after a while, the mud is kind of washed off. It takes the dirt with us. And there is currently a cleanup operation that is going to last until late this year.
I mean, it feels rather sad. But, you know, I'm also wondering whether or not, to a degree, I mean, yes, you can try and preserve it, but, you know, just like the rest of us, you know, you can do as much as you can to preserve it. But, you know, after a while,
after
you're going to have to accept that.
Yeah, like your skin or so, I mean, it just goes so far.
Yeah, I'm not turning green, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's just a matter of time, Caroline.
Thank you.
Every time you get angry, I get worried. When we saw this story, it reminded us of this song from Kermit the Frog.
It's not that easy being green. Having to spend each day the color of the leaves.
I love that song. I love that song so much. We're crossing now to Elizabeth Cardosa, president of Badan Warisan. We're going to take a further look at this story with her. Thank you so much for joining us, Elizabeth. Could you educate us a little and talk to us about the durability of white marble used in buildings and how it withstands pollution over time?
Well, marble in itself, whether white or any other color, and the marble can come in a variety of colors. It's a stone, yeah? Stones are more hardy, shall we say, than timber. yeah? But it is a porous stone. It's quite a soft stone. It's not so soft, you know, it's not like sand. So it's affected by water. It's affected by pollution, for sure. We're looking at a time when if you built something using marble, and it could be, you know, statues, it could be, you know, artwork or buildings using marble, if they were built at a period when there was less industrial pollution from soot or from acid rain, it would last. Obviously, marble, which is indoors, would have a much longer lifespan than if it's outdoors. So it's really partly a question of maintenance, how long it lasts. But it is stone. And as a stone, it would have a much longer lifespan. Ultimately, you look at rocks in the ocean, you know, at the seashore, you know, over the years with the water eroding at it, it turns into sand. I mean, that essentially is what it is. So over years, over many, many, many years and decades, you will have deterioration.
Right. So at the moment, we understand they're using a very natural sort of cleaning solution to treat the building, right? A kind of mud, which acts like a clay mask for the Taj Mahal. So have there not been, I guess, more advances in technology to restore historical buildings?
Well, you know, the thing about marble as well is that it's very affected by acid. So it's not just the insect pool. It is the acid in the insect pool that then affects the marble. It causes deterioration. So if you use modern cleaning solutions like detergents that have an acid, it will eat away at the marble. You know, people talk about soap and water. The question is what kind of soap you use. We might use baking soda. You know, people use baking soda, vinegar, that's acid. So you actually need to have a very pH-neutral solution. There are definitely more modern technologies that look at nano-cleaning. You have, you know, where you apply a solution and the nanoparticles soak into the marble and then absorbs out, like a poultice, absorbs out the dirt. Depends on how long the dirt's been there, how deep it goes, in terms of how you clean. For structures this size, it's extremely expensive. And you have to keep doing it because, you know, it is constantly exposed to the weather and to whatever the pollutants are in the air. And marble, because it's porous, because it's soft, will absorb that. Now, how they clean it, this method that they're using, and typically if it's mud, it would be a much cheaper solution. But imagine you have to build the scaffolding, you have to apply the poultice, you have to wait for it, then you have to clean it off. It is a very labor-intensive process.
Sure.
And it doesn't come easy.
So is it the method that needs changing as opposed to the chemicals or the technology we use to clean it? I mean, if it's so labor-intensive, perhaps we can automate it in the future and use robots, or should we be looking at another solution entirely?
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, I suppose that's entirely a possibility. Yeah, you know, I think that maybe robots would be more efficient, but it's not so much, I think, a question of how do you clean it or who robots or humans clean it. It's also a question of what's the root cause of the damage. And if it is because of the pollution in the environment around it, that has to be resolved. And unless that's resolved, it's going to continue, you know, and whether you need to do cleaning once a year, or you need to do cleaning 5 times a year, or you need to do cleaning once in 5 years, will very much depend on the context within which the structure sits. In the case of Taj Mahal, they've been, you know, the reports have been talking about the Yamuna River and how that's extremely polluted. And because of the pollution, you know, the insects have been breeding, the fish that are dying in huge quantities in the river. And that, unless you solve that problem of the river, you're not going to stop the insects from breeding. And if you don't stop the insects from breeding, they are going to continue causing damage to the walls of the Taj Mahal. So really, it's a question of identifying what the source is and tackling that, rather than thinking we should maybe use a nanotechnology or maybe use robots.
Right.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for those insights. That was Elizabeth Cardoza, president of Badan Warisan.
I love conversations about cleaning.
I know you
I
do.
I really do.
But I really hope they fix this, right? Because, you know, it's an incredible wonder, and at least fix it. I haven't seen it yet, La. Let me see it first in its glory, right?
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, anyway, so that's the story of what's happening with the Taj Mahal. After the 8 o'clock news, hey, we've got a new program coming your way.
Yep, very exciting. Snap, Crackle and Pop, Episode 1.
That's right. Host Lee Chui Lin brings us on an exciting journey in this new series, celebrating and examining pop music in its earnest and sometimes cheesy glory. In this first episode, Lin takes a look at how pop relates to other genres of music as well as the culture and the world as a whole. So it's going to be pretty cool. That's coming your way after the 8 p.m. news. Don't go anywhere. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.